Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. This is Fred T with my first ever ATS podcast. After spending quite a bit of time listening to the podcasts that have been put up, and I've just been marveling at the quality and the topics and the variety, decided I would take the plunge myself. I in no way am going to be up to the quality of some of these podcasts that we've seen, but I will do my best for sure. You guys are going to have to bear with me. I've been up for 36 hours now. It's one of those scheduling quirks. The wife, I worked a 24-hour shift, and then the wife had to work today. So combine that with our son Matthew, who's all of 3 years of age, who has flat out refused to take a nap. So we're both up. Little does he know he'll be going to bed early. Anyway, a little bit about myself. As most of you know, I'm a registered nurse. I do critical care transport in the pediatric realm. I've, ever since I got out of school, which was 1994, I've worked in the pediatric intensive care unit. Can't imagine anywhere else I would ever work. And right now, the transport job that I hold down is just flat out the best job I've ever had. Basically, what we do is we go from our hospital, which is a top pediatric hospital, we go to outlying facilities and we pick up sick kids for a variety of reasons. They might not have the specialty needed to take care of the kid. They might be in over their head. And no matter how sick the kid is, we go pick them up. We go by ground, we go by helicopter, we go by fixed wing. Mostly ground. We do quite a few helicopter transports, however, because it's just it's a lot faster. The fixed wings, we take the propeller, the twin-engine propeller plane. We usually can go as far as Phoenix or Reno. Medford is within range, which is in Oregon. If we go further than that, then it's a chartered Learjet. I've been as far as Miami, Chicago, Phoenix, Texas, Vancouver, British Columbia. We went to pick up a kid, Seattle, and Hawaii. Hawaii just doesn't, it sounds exciting, but it's not. You basically fly on a commercial aircraft over there. You land, you take the kid to the hospital, you sign out, basically tell them what's going on with the kid. Then they drive you back to the airport, you sit in the airport for about an hour, 2 hours, and then you get on the flight back. So to be quite frank, the Hawaii transports basically suck, and none of us really care to do them if we have an option. We do go beyond the United States. We actually have a team out right now to Australia. I did not win the lottery and didn't get to go. We returned a child to Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne. Unfortunately, the kid was here for an evaluation, and there really wasn't anything we could do for the child. So the child's ventilator dependent, and they had to get the kid back to Australia. We do lose kids. It's very tough on everybody when that happens. You lose a little bit of yourself when that happens. It can get to you. However, the flip side, most kids do well. Most kids go home, and every time a kid goes home, you get that little piece back and more. So you're always ahead, as it seems. There's nothing more satisfying than seeing a kid that you picked up or you took care of or you coded or you had to do CPR on that literally was a death's door where you were, if you can get past the next 15 minutes, you don't know if this kid's going to live or die. Watch them go through their recovery progress and then bump into the child out in the community at a park or at the zoo or in the library doing things that a normal kid his age would do. It's occasionally brought a tear to my eye to see these kids just as if nothing happened. It's just amazing. Kids have such an ability to adapt to adverse circumstances that you and I would pack it up and go home with. My wife also is a nurse. She works in the special care nursery at the same hospital. She does not crave the excitement, hence that's where she works. Otherwise, we've been dating or married for 15 years now. We have a 3-year-old, as I mentioned earlier, Matthew, or as we refer to him, the Chew. We call him the Chew Man for a variety of reasons, some obvious and some not. The funny thing is, we tried to get a personalized plate for our car that said Chew Man. And would you believe in the state of California, every variation of Chew Man is taken, no matter how you spelled it. Who would want Chew Man on their license plate? For God's sakes. I mean, really. At any rate, we have the privilege of living in the San Francisco Bay Area, the city of Palo Alto to be specific. For those of you not familiar with Northern California or Bay Area geography, we are basically halfway between San Francisco and San Jose on the peninsula here. I grew up in Palo Alto, so, you know, coming here to live has been great. I know all the little nooks and crannies and everything. The odd thing about coming back here is I actually was able to purchase the house I grew up in. So that also is a little odd, considering that the neighbors on either side of us are the same neighbors that were there when I grew up. That's a little different, to say the least, interacting with them as a kid versus interacting with them on an adult level. I do have one that still tries to treat me as if I'm a kid, so we've had some dominance battles and things like that. She doesn't like me barbecuing because she's a vegetarian. So, of course, and she's complained frequently about it. So, of course, I barbecue more than I would now. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Palo Alto, fantastic place to live. Mild climate. You know, anything over 80 degrees is a bona fide heat wave here. There's never any humidity. In the winter, we might see, you know, 30, 35 degrees. Few nights, but that's about it. You know, it's so mild here. If it ever snowed more than like a half an inch, this entire place would be paralyzed because people don't know how to drive in adverse weather here at all. You know, it's such a great place to live. I just can't go on enough about it. You have to get past the really appalling real estate prices, however. I mean, most people would gag on what a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home would go for in this area. It's quite frightening, actually. But at any rate, you know, enough about me, or maybe not. You know, like most of us, I wandered into ATS on an Area 51 search and have stayed now for over a year. And it's just such a fascinating community. There's so many personalities just on the staff and the members, and it's just an endless number of topics to discuss. It just seemingly is just inexhaustible. You know, I like to frequent the aviation forum because airplanes are a passion that I've had since I was a little kid. The facilities discussion I enjoy. The medical forum, you know, politics, it's all good. Even the BTS forums are fascinating. You know, lots of good discussion going on everywhere. My earliest brush with conspiracy, when I was 16, I worked at the credit union at SRI International in Menlo Park. Our neighbors worked there, and she arranged, she was actually the bank manager, and her husband was a vice president there, and arranged for me to get a job in the credit union. For those of you unfamiliar with SRI International, it's a privately operated think tank that does a ton of classified government research. They were involved in the MK Ultra mind control experiment. Jim Jones was reported to have been a participant there. Jim Jones of the poisoned Kool-Aid fame. You know, there were several underground levels that were inaccessible. Clearly, as a member of the credit union, I didn't really get to go very far, but there was a lot of really weird but very smart people walking around there, making a ton of money, I might add. And this would be like 1986, 1987. The mouse was actually invented there, among other things. They do have a website. It makes for interesting reading if you go there to see what they have and haven't invented. We're basically surrounded by high tech here. You know, Google is within a 20-minute bike ride, the whole Googleplex, which couldn't sleep the other night, and so rode my mountain bike around there at about 4 in the morning and was just fascinated by how that place is set up, and it just looks like a really fun place to work. Just all kinds of high-tech stuff that's happened around here. HP was founded here. Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak built the first Apple computer in a garage in Palo Alto. The world's first commercial integrated circuit was developed here by people that went on to found Intel. You know, the really early names, Fairchild Semiconductor, things like that you don't hear about anymore, they all kind of got their start around here. Anyway, enough about me, where I live, and everything like that. I just wanted to talk briefly about the Avian Flu Forum. You know, avian flu has kind of popped up into mainstream media and your average everyday discussion. And I would really like to point out the fact that we've been discussing it here on ATS for some time now. The administration here, Skeptic Overlord, Springer, Simon, had the foresight to actually start up an avian flu forum. And now as we're starting to see outbreaks and things like that, you know, it's taking on all the more relevance in today's world. There's a large variety of active threads for people to look at. There's several somewhat disturbing news stories on Above Top Secret News Network. As you may or may not know, they have definitively found avian flu in Turkey and Romania, and now they think it might be in Greece. There's a submission that hasn't been voted up yet that it's been found in Greece. G-Man55, who's one of our members that has really kind of put up quite a few topics on the matter, he has a topic currently right now that may be in Iran as well. You know, it's interesting to see how, since it's moved out of Asia, suddenly it's more front page news. But we've been talking about it for a while. There's several good threads. There's a discussion on masks that you should read. You know, kind of setting up a little emergency kit, things like that. The disturbing trend that the frontline drug Tamiflu that they were counting on to help with this, if it had a large outbreak, the virus may have mutated and it may no longer be effective. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on, and I would encourage everyone to kind of really, if you haven't, take a look at it. Now, I don't want to be the fearmonger guy, the guy with the billboard ringing the bell, screaming, the end of the world is upon us, the end of the world is upon us. But, you know, preparation is the key for this. And you know, being aware and being prepared is the best thing for everybody. Well, I think I'm going to wrap it up here because we're going on 14 minutes here. And if any of you have listened this long, well, then God bless you. But if any of you haven't, you know what? I don't think I would listen this far either. So I'm going to see what I can do for my next podcast. I've got a couple of ideas. I'm actually giving a lecture on the 24th to a large group of new nurses regarding right and left ventricular outflow tract obstructions in neonates. And so I may try to podcast that, put it up here, and see what people think. Anyway, this is Fred T. signing out on his first ever podcast. Good night, and good luck. Talk to you later.